today on Real Radio.
Do you believe that God provides over all things? Can God provide over the things in your home? Can God provide over the things in your marriage? Can he provide things for you regarding your health? He does. He is. He's doing a work. You're there, are you not? Wherever there may be. And God is doing a work. And whatever it is, you're there for a purpose.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called He Who, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two very specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. This second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In our previous episode taken from part 1 of Isaiah chapter 41, we learned that God is sovereign. He is not moved by any nations or rulers or any plans made by earthly governments. God's nature never changes. He is the one who knows the future and who keeps his promises he made to Israel and to us. He alone is the one we need to put our trust in. So today on day 1 of Isaiah chapter 41, Pastor Jack continues in this chapter by telling us that God's plan for the world is coming to pass. His will is being done on the earth, including judgment for the enemies of Israel. God is going to deal with every leader of every nation and how they dealt with the people of Israel and their land. And now in his lesson called He Who, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Together tonight, Father, we pray right now, Lord, that you would powerfully be here this evening as we go through this word. Lord, I've been so blessed just in studying, and I'm intimidated by the grandeur of just one chapter of the book of Isaiah right here. It's absolutely amazing. And I pray, Lord, in our brief time together, Father, that you would give us understanding of your word. It is holy. It is awesome. It's life-changing. May we leave tonight not just better students of the Bible, but may we leave here tonight doers of the Bible. That would be more important. We all know enough. If we know one verse of the Bible, and if we would do it, that would be enough to change the world. So, Father, we ask that we wouldn't add on to our spiritual notch in the belt another Bible study, but we would get up from this place in about an hour and leave empowered in faith and in knowing you more and in doing your will. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll grab your Bibles and turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 41. And if you were here about 2.5 months ago, you might say, well, we've already started Isaiah 41. Yeah, that was a study on a Wednesday night right here. You're correct. We got into the first few words of Isaiah 41, and that's as far as we went. And by faith, I'm going to tell you, we'll finish the chapter tonight. But this is big stuff. I need to stick to my notes because I don't usually like my notes. They're kind of for me to keep me grounded because I'm kind of nuts. So I need notes to go back to. But I got to tell you, if I stick to my notes, I hope they bless you as much as God blessed me and given them to me. But the title of the message tonight out of the book of Isaiah chapter 41 is this, He Who. Now leave that up there for a second, guys. Isaiah 41 verses 1 to 29. Listen, God is our salvation is the very theme of the book of Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah's name means that very thing, that God is our salvation. God saves. He's the God who saves us. And when we look at the title, He Who, there should be a blank behind that where that you would fill in. He Who. For example, when Jesus in the New Testament said, I am, ego eimi, that Greek word that is a title, is a name reserved only for God. When Jesus attributed that to himself, when he said, I am, and you know the Bible, I am what? The living water. I am the bread of life. Remember that? I am. In John's gospel, when they came to arrest him, they asked where he was or who he was, and he said, I am. And remember how the centurions fell down backwards at his proclamation, which was amazing? But the great statement is this. It means I am. It means I am the self-contained, eternal, existing one. That's what Jesus said of himself. And that's the very nature of God. He who, fill in the blank, he who saves, he who is holy, he who is mighty, he who is sovereign. And we're going to learn about the sovereignty of God tonight in this tremendous chapter. And just by way of review, if you are a Bible student regarding this and you missed it last time, the book of Isaiah is 66 chapters. It's a very, very remarkable book. 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. How many books are in the Bible? And it's divided up in two revelations of God in perfect sequence, without contradiction, but two distinct revelations. The first is the book of what we would call the Old Testament. The second is the New Testament. 66 books. What's interesting is that make up the Bible. The interesting thing is this, that from chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah to chapter 39, in those 39 books, just as there are chapters, just as there are 39 chapters or books, I should say, in the Old Testament, it speaks in those first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, it speaks of God's chastisement and judgment upon the Jewish people for their disobedience to him. In the 27 chapters that are ahead of us, it speaks of the second half of the theme of the book of Isaiah, and that is God's promise, fulfillment, restoration, and the coming of the kingdom of God. It's very, very unique. It is actually a Bible in small view, the book of Isaiah. And in that, we see the sovereignty of God, that God is in control from start to finish. Now, tonight, follow along with me. In verses 1 to 4, we see this. We see he who is alone sovereign, that God alone is the one that is sovereign. Follow with me. It says there, verse 1, keep silent before me, O coastlands. God is now speaking. And let the people, this is the nations of the world, the nations both at the time of Isaiah, the nations of the world throughout history, and the nations of the world at the coming of Christ. Let them renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Watch this. Let us come near together, God says, for judgment. He's speaking about this overall invitation to the nations of the world. The Bible says there's going to be a day when God enters into judgment with the nations of the world. And by the way, the New Testament covers that in detail. Come, let us draw near for judgment. Let's gather together for righteousness. That's what he is saying. Now, in your note-taking, I'm going to give you a lot of verses tonight that you're going to just write in the margins of Isaiah 41. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, starting there, it says, for behold, in those days, now this is Joel speaking, into the future, and at that time, whenever you see the word when in prophecy, it's a time statement. I mean, something's going to come. It's going to be significant. It is going to start the clock. What is it? When I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, God says in the last days, at some future time, I'm going to regather the people, my people. Verse 2, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Some of you were just with us a couple months ago. You were introduced to the Valley of Jehoshaphat on our tour of Israel as the Valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley, same name. Remarkable locations. It's got a huge future according to the word of God. I will enter into the judgment with them, that is the nations of the world, for this reason. Why? On account of my people. Church, listen, who, according to the Bible, is God's people? My heritage, Israel. He says, whom they, that is the nations of the world, and I'm going to insert the nations of the world and the United Nations, same thing. It's the same thing. You and I are just living right now at the time that we don't talk about all the nations of the world. We would refer to them as the United Nations. The nations of the world will unite together according to what God says, and they are going to deal in a not so good way with God's people and God's land, Israel. What did they do? He says he's going to enter into judgment with them on account of my people, on account of Israel, whom they have, look, scattered among the nations. They, that is the nations of the world, have also divided up my land. So God is saying in this book of Isaiah, keep silent all you nations, all the ends of the earth. There's going to be a day coming when I'm going to draw you together into my land. He calls it my land, and I'm going to enter into judgment with you. And Joel tells us a little bit more of it regarding how the nations dealt with the people of Israel, the Jewish people. Now in your Bibles, I'm going to need you to turn there. It's a big chunk of our reading tonight. But you can write down the margin and then turn there. It's the book of Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Ezekiel 36, verse 1. God alone is sovereign. He who alone is sovereign. God is. He's ruling right now in all the nations of the world. His plan is coming to pass. You might say, is God ruling in Russia right now? Is God ruling in North Korea right now? Is God ruling in America right now? The answer to your question is yes, he is ruling, meaning this though. It doesn't mean that he controls the government and everybody prays and everyone has a communion service in the government and it's all going well. No. He's ruling, meaning his will is being done in the earth. And he's using North Korea right now. He's using Iran right now. He's using Israel right now. He's using America right now. God is sovereign. These nations and their leaders do not know it yet, but they are actually, with whatever they're thinking, they're bringing about the end time will of God. God is sovereign over the nations. It's awesome. By the way, Christian, you need to remember that when everything breaks loose and goes crazy. It's not just in an earthquake that you cry out to God. It's even in elections. It's even in wars or whatever. God knows exactly what he's doing. So much so, the Bible says that the wrath of men, God will use to praise his own name in the last days. Remarkable. Are you there now? I stalled for a while. Ezekiel 36. Watch this. Put your face in the Bible. Follow along with me. This is awesome. And you, son of man, God speaks to Ezekiel. That's his name, son of man. Prophesy to the mountains of where? Say it. In fact, when you come to the name Israel, say it out loud when we come to it. And say, O mountains of? Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said to you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possessions. Look at verse 3. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations. Sounds like Joel, doesn't it? Sounds like Isaiah. And you are taken up by the lips of the talkers and slanders by the nations or by the peoples. Verse 4, therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, the desolate waters into the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession. God is going to enter into the nations of the world because they took the land of Israel. Does that sound like today's news? Isn't it awesome? On your lap is a book that's open, and the book is Isaiah, and it's 3,000 years old, and you're holding it open right now, and it's being reported in the news even this week. Awesome. With wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. Therefore, verse 6, prophesy concerning the land of and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury because you have borne the shame of the nations. Verse 7, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. Ouch, that's scary. But you, O mountains of you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, for they are about to come. Listen to this. This prophecy is 2,600 years old or so. For indeed, I am for you. I will turn you, and you shall be tilled and sown. Verse 10, I will multiply men upon you, all the house of all of it, and the city shall be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. Oh, you got to go with us to Israel to literally stand in those places today. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you. I want to include us. We've walked on it on our tours. My people, they shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. Absolutely awesome. In all of this, we've got to recognize the obvious sovereignty of God. Here we are in the 21st century reading the book of Isaiah, and God is saying, in the future, I'm going to enter into judgment in the valley of Jehoshaphat, Kidron Valley, and it's going to be in the land of Israel, and I'm going to judge them on this standard, how they dealt with my people Israel. That ought to cause tonight the enemies of Israel to shiver up their spine with fear. Literally. If I had 5 minutes to speak to every national leader in the world, that's what I would tell them. God says he's going to deal with every nation and their leaders on how they dealt with the people of Israel and the land. If I had 5 minutes, and then, well, I would still have 4 minutes to give them the gospel on top of that. Seriously, it's absolutely awesome. Recently, somebody asked in the community, why does that church defend Israel so much? Listen, we don't defend everything that Israel does and everything Israel decides. We stand for Israel because God says, don't mess with the apple of my eye, the cornea. That's what the word means. When he says, when you mess with Israel, you're poking me in the eye. So look, I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. Don't poke God in the eye. He says, comfort ye, comfort my people, Israel. Comfort them. Pray for them. They're God's people. And Isaiah is bearing witness to the fact. But we got to keep this in mind. Beyond even the people of Israel, the land belongs to God. And he's going to exercise his sovereignty over that. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. That in your Bible means God is the one presiding over all things. Church, do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe that God provides over all things? Yes. Can God provide over the things in your home? Yes. Can God provide over the things in your marriage? Yes. Can he provide things for you regarding your health? Yes. He does. He is. Listen, it's incumbent upon us as believers to discern what he's doing. He's doing something in your life. He's doing something in your home. He's doing something in your business. He's doing something in your school. You say, yeah, but I don't understand. It doesn't look right. I would do it differently. He didn't ask you for your help. He's doing a work. You're there, are you not? Wherever there may be. And God is doing a work. And whatever it is, you're there for a purpose. He's teaching you. He's using you. He's developing you. He's strengthening you. His word is becoming more powerful in your life because you're living through these things that you know that if you could snap your fingers, you would change. Of course you would. Of course I would. But that's not the plan right now. I feel kind of bad last Sunday with great intentions. A woman came up to me and she said, Pastor, welcome back, but I want to tell you something. You need to claim your healing. And I said, listen, I understand that and I appreciate that. She said, no, you need faith. You need faith and you need to now be healed now. And I said, I appreciate that, but I didn't get a chance to tell her, and she was really kind of going on about it with a great heart. Don't get me wrong. She meant well. And I said, ma'am, what you're not hearing is this. I have been praying for 2 years that God would heal me, and I'm going to keep praying. But God has also been saying to me, Jack, my grace is going to be sufficient for you through this. And this weakness, I'm going to be strength in your weakness. You embrace it. You embrace it. I'm going to be your strength in this weakness. And when I said that, she said, you don't mean that. You can't mean that. I said, well, oh my, I just quoted Bible to you. I do mean it. But listen, honestly, but let's be honest. And I'm on her side. If I could snap my finger, I'd be healthy and healed tonight. Wouldn't you? But God says, listen, I'm working something out here. I'm doing something. The world is crazy. God's doing something. Don't panic, Christian. Oh, but the world is so messed up and all this. It's all falling together. It's all coming together. God's got a plan. And he says that he's the Almighty God. And he made a covenant with Abram. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. And he swore to Abram that he would give to his descendants the land. God said it. It initiated with God. God made the deal. The Bible tells us that while Abraham was sleeping, God made a deal with a sacrifice. And because he could not agree with anyone greater than himself, he agreed with himself. And he made an everlasting covenant with the land of Israel. Listen, you can get the nations of the world to launch a world war attack against Israel tonight, and they won't win. 100%. Look, see this? The nations of the world could launch a world war attack on Israel tonight, and they would not win. You want to know why? Because God says, once I bring them back, it's very clear, once I bring them back in the last days, and they become a nation again, he said they will never again be uprooted. Now, do they have times coming where the Antichrist is going to drive many of them away? And do they have a time of great deception coming by the Antichrist? Absolutely. But even still in that, the nation doesn't cease to exist. They go through the time of what is called Jacob's trouble. Do you know another name for Jacob? Israel's his name. Isn't that fantastic? Yes, Israel's got tough times coming, but they'll never cease to be Israel. God is sovereign. And that should bring comfort to us. I've often said, you're tired of hearing about it. If God doesn't keep his promises to Israel, the Christian has no hope that God will keep his promises to us. That's how sure God is in keeping his word. He will keep his word. He who alone is sovereign. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. The anointed, that's Messiah. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. In other words, let's not have God rule over us. He who sits, look at verse 4, don't you? I'm sorry, I revel in this. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Can God laugh? Oh, God laughs. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Look at verse 6. Yet, cheer up, everybody. I've set my king on my holy hill, Zion. Isn't that awesome? Zion, where's Zion? It's in Jerusalem. Thousands of years of history in the Bible. The word's never changed. It's God's land. For thousands of years, Mount Zion has been God's favorite place.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called He Who, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. You know, our hope is that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ because He alone is trustworthy. He Who, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here on Real Radio, we've talked about what's available at our website many times, but it's important for us to remind you about the tab at our website called Know God. The Know God tab, that's K-N-O-W God, it's a way for us to show you just how much you mean to God, and that he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. The Know God tab gives you insights on what it means to be saved and why each and every one of us needs salvation. It's also there to help you share your faith in Christ with others in a clear and precise way. So head on over to our website, click on the tab that says Know God. You'll find that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our desire here at Real Radio is to give you the support you need to carry on your journey of faith with Christ. And there are some great ways that you can support us as well. You can like Pastor Jack's page on Facebook and be sure to tell your friends about it. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and follow him on Instagram. So for more ways to support this ministry, check out Pastor Jack on social media. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.